colored eggs. No, nothing remotely like the Easter Bunny or her colorful eggs are written of anywhere in the Bible, no place. Nor do they have any part in a true Christian's life. Now, this fact obviously must come as a great shock to many, many people on earth, and even to an exceedingly high percentage of today's churches and members of Christendom. But to understand this better, why this is a syncretic sin, we must look at this from God's perspective, from His view of earth, looking down from heaven. We know that in heaven itself, all of the hosts of heaven are viewing Jesus in all of His glory constantly, 100% of the time, constantly, 100% of the time. Yes, all heaven sees Jesus constantly, and their adoring voices echo with the shouts of His ever-increasing glory being revealed to them constantly. Yes, the viewing of Jesus Christ uninterrupted is heaven's great delight. There is no sight greater. Jesus walks in heaven as light of lights, walking in curtains of light, walking in unspeakable light. We read that all heaven delights in viewing Him, for viewing Him is unspeakable glory that they cannot miss for even 1 second. Not even 1 second. Yes, that is what heaven is like, constantly viewing Jesus 100% of the time, uninterrupted. Now let's try to imagine the complete opposite. It is an impossibility, yes, it is almost blasphemy that there would be some human invention or some other earthly obstacle, such as a counterfeit Christ, actually blocking the view of the host of heaven, blocking all of the host of heaven's view of Jesus 99% of the time. Imagine that, a counterfeit Christ blocking Christ 99% of the time in heaven. Would that not be unspeakable, unforgivable obstacle for all the host of heaven? Would that not be a great blasphemy? Would that not be unspeakable? Yes, everyone must agree that such a cutting off of the view of Jesus in heaven with a counterfeit Christ would be a horrific disaster far beyond human words. But let's now contrast heaven's constant viewing of Jesus against what is actually happening on earth to the viewing of Jesus spiritually, such as at Easter time. In this wicked and perverse generation, for that contrast illustrates a vast and a critical difference. This contrast, this difference of viewing Jesus should not be on earth either. Remember, nothing delights the Holy Spirit on earth as much as revealing Jesus to mankind, to sinners, revealing the beauty of Jesus Christ to His church and to His children more and more. Yes, God's true children greatly love the view of Jesus to their soul's eyes. Certainly all would have to agree then that willfully creating a human invention, an obstacle, or a block, or a counterfeit Christ toward the viewing of Jesus at Easter on earth, and his glorious resurrection would also be then an unspeakable blasphemy. God commands that I preach against all the thousands of different kinds of sins in me and you, but especially this morning in this Easter sermon, I have to deal with syncretic sin of the Easter Bunny, which is systematically hiding, burying, and killing, and blurring the true meaning of Easter, hiding Jesus. Yes, God calls it syncretic, which is the mixing of human invented sins coming out from the human hearts of those in this sinful world, mixing that sin with his precious word, trying to hide his precious Christ and his bloody sacrifice on the cross and his glorious resurrection on Easter. Now, in that context, every Christian has to agree that obviously trying to hide, obscure, distort, or mix anything to replace Jesus Christ would be wrong. But then our problem is, mine and yours, is having to actually apply this same standard honestly to our lives on earth. Sadly, most enjoy it so. How few want to actually honestly apply this principle and avoid the sin of syncreticism. But God always deals honestly. Yes, God commands me and all true ministers to preach against the sinfulness of sin, syncretic sin. For no matter how many bright colors and how many beautiful images, how many human inventions are used to wrap around any of the thousands of different sins with anything that is contrary to Scripture, God still calls it sin. Yes, even if you don't, guess whose opinion is going to win, yours or God's? Make no mistake, God is hyper exceedingly angry at the syncretic mixing of Jesus' precious resurrection on earth at Easter and compromising it humanly with the bunny rabbit and her multicolored eggs. It's not a tiny sin at all, but it is a huge sin in that context. Let us be honest about this syncretic sin. For if you ask 100 young Christian children at the mall, the great multitudes whose Christian parents are bringing them to see the big Easter Bunny to take a picture of them with the Easter Bunny, yes, ask 100 of those children what happens at Easter. 99 of them will say, Easter eggs. The bunny lays multicolored, yummy Easter eggs for us to hunt and to find. It's so much fun when our church does this too. Yes, the Easter egg bunny is a huge event in many churches today. At Easter, sadly, would actually obscures, hides, and destroys Christ. That fact that 99% of even Christian children are automatically saying this demonstrates how clearly Satan has won a great victory within Christendom for his counterfeit Easter, mixing the profane with the holy, mixing the Easter Bunny with Jesus Christ. Oh, horrific sin. Yes, this makes an unbelievable, huge sin. As we said earlier, in heaven, all the hosts of heaven have the glorious opportunity to view Jesus always, every moment, and in an ever-growing measure. It is a great, great blasphemy, but simply for teaching purposes this morning, let us try to imagine the bunny rabbit and her multicolored eggs somehow made it into heaven and distracted the heavenly hosts from 99% of their view of Jesus in heaven. Oh, it is an unbelievable blasphemy, unspeakable almost, but to illustrate the point, why is it also so much of a blasphemy on earth then to actually have God's intended view of Jesus at Easter being blocked by a bunny rabbit and her multicolored eggs 99% of the time for 99% of our Christian children? Yes, it is a counterfeit Christ. Yes, this is blasphemy. It is unimaginable. However, the reality, the bitter reality of this cunningly concealed sin is the Christian reality today, and typically it fulfills the hidden agenda of Satan, trying to hide Jesus or to mix the true meaning, the real meaning of Easter with a invention of the world, the bunny rabbit. Satan works day and night promoting with his specific agenda to hide Christ in as many ways as possible. Obviously, as this is intentionally done against Scripture, then it must be done by Satan, who has cunningly disguised himself as an angel of light and has cleverly deceived many churches, church leaders, to even declare his evil agents, often promoted as church leaders. Yes, it is a syncretic sin, mixing God's glorious work and view of Jesus with Satan's evil work and the view of the bunny rabbit. We scarcely dare to say it, but look only at how incredibly successful Satan's Easter plot is. When 99 out of 100 Christian children today in this generation immediately identify Easter first with the Easter Bunny and her multicolored eggs, instead of with Jesus' precious resurrection, that is mixing holy with profane. That is an overwhelming, successful victory for Satan. Yes, overwhelming. Yes, all of hell must echo with satanic laughter and with great rejoicing in hell because of their incredibly successful, deceitful victory to hide Jesus from many, many children at Easter with a foolish Easter Bunny and her eggs. How they must laugh. Looking down from God's view, then from heaven, sharing God's view, how could anyone, much less a Christian, see this form of idolatry as something acceptable? In whatever clever, colorful, or fun package it is wrapped up in. Oh, we see how gullible is the fallen human heart, even the Christian one, even one with a baptized forehead, even one who has God's word to instruct them daily. Yes, that is what syncretic sin does, mixing the holy with the profane. For where we are, our depraved heart always chooses the profane. No, the Easter Bunny, this is not innocent fun at all. It has a deadly, deadly poison to it. Oh, I beg you with tears to step back and take a greater view, a grand view which God obviously has, and what God actually sees as the end result of the Easter Bunny and her eggs. God's grand view, which he sees looking down from heaven at the Easter Bunny, is an open and an intentional obstruction of Jesus' resurrection at Easter. 99% of the time, God does not want anything, do you hear it? Anything mixed with his glorious work. No, not the slightest thing. No matter how innocent looking, no matter how much fun, no matter how much color, God knows that all human inventions greatly obstruct his work, including this one of this generation of Easter. Yes, read the Bible. Yes, every page of the Bible thunders this specific message. I am a jealous God, and I will have no other gods before me, no, none. For that is the very definition God makes of idolatry, substituting something for him. This God has written in the Bible on every page. We would have to be willfully blind not to see and not to apply what God writes on every page of the Bible as to what idolatry is, as what syncretic sin is. It is anything that occupies our time, our mind, our effort, that somehow obscures Jesus in any way. And there, my hearers, you have our case, our theme for our sermon for this morning in a nutshell. The Easter Bunny and her eggs are actively, greatly working against the true Easter. It is attempting to kill Easter's meaning with a syncretic sin. It is joined with the world's invention. All sin kills. No God looking down from heaven sees the bunny rabbit and her eggs as an evil, not as an innocent kid's thing, not at all, but rather as a sinister plot hatched from the evil one, who has cunningly disguised himself as an angel of light, saying to even Christians in our day, yes, you can mix the world with holiness. You can mix your inventions with God's word. You can have fun. You can mix the bunny rabbit with Christ. Oh, Satan is whispering this blasphemy to you, just as he whispered to Eve, just as he promotes on every page of the Bible which God condemns. Satan is saying God is just being unfair to you, and he doesn't want you to have any fun. Many will still object, saying, Chaplain, what you are saying is true, but it's not important and not major. God is only concerned about big sins. Don't you have something relevant or major to preach about? Oh, then I must say, if this is not a major issue to you, it should be. It most certainly is a major, major issue to God to hide Jesus Christ. When God calls such syncretic sins as idolatry, that automatically makes it a major issue, an exceedingly major issue. And to be a faithful ambassador to God, I must preach the exact words He is thundering down from heaven today, right now. Yes, I must preach the truth about all sin, every kind of sin, thousands of them. And yes, even if every other person in the whole world didn't agree with me, didn't agree with what Scripture's truth says, that's utterly irrelevant to God. We must learn quickly that our will not stand, that God's will stand. It is our fallen nature where the world refuses to see and to call sin, sin, but God's word will stand far over your and my opinion. Oh, I beg you with tears, just look throughout history. Humans, churches do not have a good history, a good record of agreeing with God as to what sin is and what sin is not, what sins they actually do. No, not at all. The human heart is desperately wicked. Oh, who can know its depths? Now, sadly, those 99 out of 100 children, in reality, these little children say no different, believe no different, because their Christian parents have taught them this or have allowed them to be taught this lie from a very young age. Thus, it is so hyper-serious, so hyper-critical to understand that in Christianity today, the real purpose, the real meaning of Easter is being pushed to the background or lost totally. Yes, Jesus Christ's precious death and resurrection is being hidden, obscured, obstructed by a bunny rabbit and her multicolored eggs. No, the Easter bunny and her multicolored eggs have no place within Christendom. God is a jealous God. He will accept no competition, absolutely none, none. We see that obviously also not only in Easter, a high church holiday. No, it does not take a deep thinker or a high seminary education to see the clear reality here that whatsoever is not in Scripture is obviously from Satan. It must be, for there is nothing in between these two great principles. Jehovah God of Scripture is a God of black and white. There are no gray areas to God. There is not some third way, a syncretic way, which allows the inventions of man to substitute in their Bibles. No, no, no. God's word will stand, not the inventions of this generation. Oh, I beg you again with tears, let us look at the grand view God sees with the Easter bunny and her eggs. Actually, working to hiding his precious Christ. Even if he were to be hidden, even for 1 second, it would be a great sin. How do we then seriously think God views 99 out of 100 Christian children saying the Easter Bunny with their eggs comes at Easter? From that overall context, we must view the bunny at Easter. All the usual human excuses are equally irrelevant to God, where people quickly try to justify this syncretic sin and any other sin by saying, it's just a little thing, it's just a kid's thing, it doesn't mean we hate God, we're just mixing a little fun with God. And that's the point. We have to get with the times, they say. We don't want to be totally separate from the world, etc., etc. They're making the point. History shows us that all these exact same foolish reasonings, all these same excuses, were exactly those used by the people and by the church in all the 31 times in history just before God destroyed them and their church in his wrath. Oh, God is not just angry at the over 100 syncretic sins that we have identified in our ministry about this specific generation, but he is hyper exceedingly angry. Come, let us bow down and see from God's holy and infallible word what God thinks of any syncretic sin just before he destroys them and their sin. Remember, he has had to thunder against many, many types of syncretic sins which have been invented by his own Christian church and Christian leaders. 31 different times in history already, where he has even destroyed his own church. Yes, 31 times in history, count them, God has destroyed his church because of their sins and corruptions. And we may well fear today. Today we appear to be well on our way to the 32nd time that God will destroy us. Oh, look around. Try to imagine he destroys his own church for our open syncretic sins offend him. Yes, sin always appears so sweet to fallen humans, and we have invented all kinds of devices to add to sin's sweetness. But hear the word of God when his church openly engages in syncretic sin. God minces no words. Churches make a huge mistake when they refuse to listen as he thunders his anger at syncretic sin. Yes, all 31 times throughout the ages. Yes, we desperately do not want to make the same mistake today, as he is again thundering the same vitriol at us today against our syncretic sins. Oh, I beg us to stop whatever we are doing and pay attention to God's consistent anger. Yes, God's destroying anger. Unleashed consistently 31 straight times already. and now, by all appearances, look around, is going on the 32nd time. Come, let us listen to his anger against us today out of Isaiah 5, verse 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe unto those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw, and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots shall decay, and their flower blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty, and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised, and he strikes them down. The mountains shake. The dead bodies are like refuge in the streets. Yet, for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and infallible word against syncretic sin. Yes, this Easter 2021, we are eyewitnesses of America and Christendom being systematically destroyed by our own syncretic sins, done by our own hands in thousands of different syncretic sins. Yes, we see Christendom today being systematically destroyed by our own hands, by our own sins in so many thousands of ways, by hundreds of counterfeit Christs. Therefore, I must, as certainly should all faithful and true ambassadors of God, call sin as sin, in whatever form, shape, size, or context it presents itself in. Yes, there are thousands of different ways to sin. But remember, there are also two main types of sin, sins of commission, where you actually participate in that specific sin, and sins of omission, where you see the sin all around you and fail to warn against it. Both types of sin, omission and commission, are equally destructive, and both are eternally deadly. Both of these main types of sin can be done in thoughts, in words, and in deeds, in thousands of different ways. Yes, read Isaiah 21, verse 11. God's ministers have a double responsibility and a double duty. God has set them up as watchmen on the walls of the church of Jerusalem. He has commissioned them, and when they see a danger and then fail to warn the church membership of that approaching or dominating danger, then Then the judgment of all the hearers falls doubly on the unfaithful watchmen. Oh, what a warning for ministers who do not preach God's word. Yes, God thunders throughout Scripture that whatever is not written in the Bible is false. Whatever contradicts the Bible is open sin. Whatever substitutes something into the Bible actually promotes a false God, which promotes idolatry, which has Satan for their father. Hard words, harsh words, but it must be said, such a person is an enemy of God. Tragically, the reality of the subject of sin and its eternal consequences is one of the most avoided subjects by most of the ambassadors in Christian churches today. Look around. Let each of us take note of how little, how seldom this topic of sin comes up in your church sermons. No, these are not my words. These are God's words taken directly from Scripture's reading of this morning, where God has used 31 different times already in history just before he destroys that church. How forcefully Jesus spoke of this reality of syncretic sins. Yes, with strong vitriol to the heads of his Christian church during his life on earth. Oh, listen to Jesus thunder to the Pharisee Christian church leaders of his day. They were Christian leaders. He said, "Your father is the devil. His evil works you do. Though you may be so pious, may act so conservatively, may pray so loudly on the street corners, may preach so beautifully, you are counterfeit. Your father is the devil." Reverend Smitebelt said so famously, clearly, the bottom of hell is paved with counterfeit Christian ministers who throughout history, in reality, preached a syncretic doctrine, mixing the holy with the profane. Now, obviously, this is basic truth. It's against all the thousands of syncretic sins. This is kindergarten theology. Everyone knows. Every Christian knows this is true. The difficulty is because of sin, because our fallen nature, that we so often fail to connect the obvious dots of a syncretic sin. We enjoy it too much. We fail to actually apply this basic kindergarten theology to our real and to our daily lives, to our relationship with God. And now this is especially true in these Passion Weeks, in the Easter season, where against all the principles of God's word, one of the most obvious and vile blasphemies is routinely practiced, even within Christendom, by Christian parents with Christian children. Oh, I beg you to stand still for a moment in our mad rush to our eternal destruction and examine the Easter of this generation against the Easters of our previous church generations for 6,000 years. Examine this Easter with the Easters of Scripture. No, you can look back as far back as you want. You will not find the Easter Bunny and her multicolored eggs appearing anywhere until this wicked and perverse generation invented it. Again, these are not my words, but God's holy and infallible word, where he thunders in our scripture reading this morning these clear realities to all humans who try to mix the holy with the profane and imagine somehow it is somehow going to turn out well. I'm here to tell you it is not going to turn out well. His wrath against all sin should be understandable, for these obvious premises are basic biblical theology preached from the beginning of Christendom. For nothing can be more clear from Scripture than that God is a hyper-jealous God who will not tolerate even the slightest contradiction, the smallest invention, or the tiniest substitution to his word, especially to hide his Christ. Oh, read his word over and over again. He repeats this fierce anger against syncretic sin. Yes, again, on virtually every page of the Bible, God angrily destroys all people, all churches, all nations who syncretically contradict, invent, or substitute something or anything to his precious word, whether smaller or large. Or do you foolishly imagine that the all-seeing God doesn't see you and won't call you into judgment for the 32nd time for this generation's hundreds of syncretic sins, including our topic of this sermon today concerning the Easter Bunny? Notice, I never said small sins, for there is no such thing as a small sin to God. While there may be some sins that appear to be fallen human nature as smaller sins, they are in God's sight, they are not. Since the deep fall of Adam, there are only huge sins, even larger, huger sins, and even much, much larger, huge sins. There are no small sins. No, there are none that are small, for even only one of the smallest sins automatically earns eternal hell. For the wages of sin is death. Yes, even one unforgivable sin, unforgiven sin. Over and over, God writes of his hyper-exceeding anger against all contradictions to his word, against all human syncretic inventions to his word, against all substitutions in his word. Oh, read the Bible and see, every page testifies to this. It's not my word. Yes, sadly, this includes many, many Christian church leaders who claim to be Bible-only preaching churches. Yes, they rightly insist on nothing but the Bible. And that is good, that is true. But sadly, in applying it, they often are among those contradicting this syncretic sin, going along with these human inventions, allowing or doing this contradiction, this substitution, this idolatry by their omission or their commission. Remember now how righteous the Pharisee Christian leaders looked in Jesus' day, but they missed everything true about Scripture. The Pharisee Christian leaders were so highly admired by the people, but Jesus calls them devils. Do you hear that? Devils. By Jesus' own mouth. Oh, they choked on a legal gnat, but they could easily swallow a camel of syncretism. Jesus said to these church leaders, the harlots and the publicans will go to heaven before you. Remember, these fake Christian ministers would even kill Jesus, the Son of God, without any fear, while claiming Christian orthodoxy, claiming Christian truth, and that they were even doing God's work. Yes, within the Christian church itself, just look around at our sick society and culture today. Evidence of our sickness at every level, in every aspect of life, we see open, obvious sin is celebrated as good, even in the church as a new kind of holiness. Oh, what can we be thinking? Most thinking people agree that they have never, ever seen such evil manifest itself so openly. They have never seen Satan operate so openly. Look around. So many things that used to be normal seem to have gone off the rails, and society seems to have gone insane. It's our fault. It's our sin. We need to repent. I personally am thankful that my parents and grandparents are not alive today to see how evil this wicked and perverse generation has become. They have warned us of it. Yes, we scarcely dare to open our eyes each new day to learn of some new syncretic sin that has developed overwhelmingly overnight. And we are too overwhelmed to resist and to defeat it. Yes, this is Satan's hour. This is Satan's day. This is Satan's season. Yes, we rightly shake our heads in disgust at so much incredibly open sin done in our day, open sins that would make our forefathers faint in horror. Yes, denial is not just a river in Egypt. The Easter Bunny and her multicolored eggs, that hypocrisy is overwhelmingly evident around us today in ever mushrooming numbers. Yes, as we said, there are thousands of other and different kinds of syncretic sins which we can preach about and God commands us to, but today we must focus and speak about the specific syncretic sin of this season, of the perversion of his precious Easter the blocking of the view of Jesus Christ with the Easter Bunny and her multicolored eggs. That is enough blasphemy for just one day. We pray that there will be time to cover the other 999 sins in the months ahead, if the Lord tarries and if we live. Now, from any elementary research in the Bible, it's easy to find over 100 different ways in which this wicked and perverse generation of Christendom has willfully perverted Christendom away from Scripture and away from the doctrines which God the Holy Spirit has taught all of our godly Christian forefathers. Yes, whether it's the Old Testament fathers, the New Testament church fathers, those from the Reformation, those of the Puritans, those of the neo-reformers. It cannot be more obvious that there are hundreds of counterfeit Christs preached within today's establishment Christendom. Oh, I beg you, don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourselves. Your soul depends on it. It is all written in history, in plain English. Just read Scripture. Read our great church forefathers, such as Augustine, Calvin, Luther, Bunyan, Whitefield, and so forth. Read our church councils, the church canons, the decrees of the synods, the writings of our godly forefathers, and so forth. Oh, if you read that, what a contrast you will see with today's Christendom. For our forefathers, they all testify to exactly what we are saying this morning, that many Christian churches and leaders are syncretic Christians, openly sinning in this generation of Christendom, willfully perverting God's word, yes, horribly mixing the holy with the profane. But yes, many will still say, it's a small thing. The Easter Bunny and her multicolored eggs is such a very minor little thing in the grand scheme of things. God is concerned about big sins. He doesn't care about these little things. We just got to get with the times. But I must say, we do not have to get with the times. For the times, they are evil. And God is hyper exceedingly angry at anything syncretic within his Christendom. He is a jealous God. Now, if any of my hearers have a problem with hearing about syncretic sin, obviously their problem is not with me, for I am just simply the messenger. For then your obvious problem is with God and with his word of truth. Oh, I beg you to consider who you are sinning against, who you are rebelling against. All 31 times in history that false Christians rebelled against God with a syncretic Christendom, the eternal damnation of the whole church was catastrophic, horrible, far beyond words. Oh, let us hear and fear today, repent today. Now, to this day, I have preached on 29 of Christendom's different syncretic perversions of the Scripture. Sadly, tragically, there are over 70 more distortions of scripture from this generation of Christendom that can be easily defined as syncretic, and that if God spares us, we must preach on. Oh, I beg you, be like the king of Nineveh, who was the most outwardly wicked king in the whole world, ruling over the most outwardly wicked people of the world. For he was far different than us in our day who have the full word of God. For immediately when the king of Nineveh heard God's warning that he was going to destroy their nation, all the people from the king on down, they all immediately repented, bowing down in repentance, even putting sackcloth and ashes upon their animals, crying out in repentance, who can tell? Maybe if we repent, perhaps God will yet spare our nation. Oh, it is that serious. It could be the same today for America and America's Christendom, which have fallen so deeply into syncretic sins. Are there those in America with ears to hear and eyes to see that we have highly deserved the destruction of our nation, the destruction of our corrupt Christendom with our counterfeit Christ, that we have richly earned the judgments that are falling upon us from every level? Oh, look around. Take notice. God is hyper angry at this generation, at you and me, of corrupt Christendom and against the heathens. Look around, for he has sent the COVID pandemic all around the world, bringing all 197 countries in the world to their knees. Yes, that is God's work. God is speaking loudly to me and to you. He is speaking very, very, very loudly to me and to you. Oh, do you hear his voice, his anger? Oh, Lord, grant us ears to hear. 7 years ago, the Lord woke me from a deep sleep and sat me up at 3 a.m. in the morning with his voice thundering loudly at my heart. He said, "Watchman, watchman, what of the night?" And in those moments, the Lord showed me the great evil of this generation of Christendom, what they were willing to embrace and do. And yes, it has all come true. Look around at corrupt Christendom. Oh, look around. Look around at the utter devastation which we in Christendom have done to God's word, to his bride, his church. Yes, it is night in the church. Let me say it again. It is night in the church. It is near midnight. It is open and obvious that an extremely high percentage of establishment Christendom is embracing open sin as some kind of new holiness. Yes, they pat themselves on the back as being more inclusive, more accepting, more accommodating, more compassionate than God even. Imagine that. Imagining they are more than God, who has condemned the sins they willingly embrace as some kind of new holiness over 30 different times in Scripture. So foolish have we become in counterfeit Christendom. Oh, we must repent today, else the judgments of God will only become more and more. Sadly, so many of these counterfeit ambassadors boldly tell their churches, God has to get with the times. He will surely wink at our going against Scripture a little bit. If God were here, he would approve of what we are doing to redesign his church, to become more Christian, to become more inclusive, to become more compassionate. Imagine those blasphemous words. Oh, how blasphemous against a holy God whose eye roves over the whole earth, searching for intercessors, searching for his children, his poor, needy, missing, grieving, searching little ones. Yes, God sees the times which we are in, and he says, flee, flee from these times, for they are evil. Flee from the world and all of its enticements. Flee from all the inventions of man, for they are always evil, and they always come from their master, Satan. Not my words. God says this over and over. The Almighty Triune Holy One has spoken this in his word on every page. I am a jealous God. He is the potter. We are the lowly clay. What, Paul says through the Holy Spirit, shall the clay being formed say to the grand potter, you are doing this all wrong? Oh, perish the very thought. But now again, just look around today. The Easter bunny season is a hundreds of billions of dollar big business that consumes the secular world, which is the specific world that God tells Christians to flee from at all costs. Yes, flee from the world. Yes, the world and God are polar opposites, and God demands that there be a complete separation between those two things, himself and the world. Whoever loves the world hates God. It's that simple. God said a Christian must be separated from the world in all aspects. From the moment of the new birth, a new Christian has one ever-growing desire: to learn in the school of Jesus Christ how to become, striving to become further away from sin, to become more and more holy. Such a child of God, from their regeneration, spends their time mortifying their flesh, fleeing even from the appearance of evil. Not obviously syncretically mixing human inventions with God's sacred word. Oh, perish the thought. A true Christian strives to obey God in every commandment. Yes, as Paul, they are willing slaves to God. Every atom of their heart, mind, body, soul, and strength is dedicated to God, to holiness. Oh, what a stark difference then between a child of God and a child of the world. a day and night difference. The Easter Bunny is recognized as an idol, as coming from Satan, as hiding Jesus Christ. Now notice how for each Christian holiday there is a syncretic alternative, that are total opposites to the scripture's Christian holiday intent. Yes, it's almost like this is planned. Oh, but wait, it is planned. Yes, it is planned already in hell. One of these many ways is with the syncretic Christendom, a counterfeit Christ promoted openly today for our subject of today by an Easter bunny rabbit laying multicolored eggs. And for this sermon, we are looking specifically at the theme of how Satan has so radically deceived Christendom in the idolatry of the bunny rabbit. Oh, do not allow Jesus to be diminished at Easter or hidden or any of the other seasons which Satan has cunningly set up an alternative, a human invention to hide, obscure, distort, or eliminate Jesus. We preached the sermon already of how Santa Claus is Satan's weapon at Christmas. The bunny rabbit is Satan's weapon at Easter. Oh, let us repent today. Let us hear God's warning. Let us repent immediately of our syncretic Easter and holiday sins and return to Scripture and to our godly reformation of forefathers. Who can tell? God may yet not destroy America. God may not yet destroy Christendom for the 32nd time. We have richly earned it with all of our syncretic sins, including this one of our sermon today. And our scripture reading this morning shows us clearly that God will not tolerate our syncretic sins. Let us repent today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For you see in the last part of our scripture reading this morning that God is still long-suffering. He is still allowing grace to flow upon earth. It is still the day of grace, the time of salvation. He is yet calling to sinners, to you and to me, repent of your sins, and I will forgive them in the blood of Jesus Christ. He is still calling to you and me today, whether it will be the next minute, the next day, next week, we know not. But the time will end that his grace ends for all sinners today.